This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Thursday. Huge, huge news. Jesse Smollett is still guilty, but screwed the Illinois court system and is no longer being convicted.
That is big news.
And Matt Gaetz withdrew his name from a nomination.
What?
To be the Attorney General. That is all we're going to cover on Jesse Smollett for the show. Other than to say, as you mentioned one time, Ryan, in Matt Walsh's Am I Racist movie, if you haven't seen it yet, you can stream it on the Daily Wire's platform. He does a reenactment as Jesse Smollett narrates what happened in that whole thing. And it never has felt more absurd than when you're watching Matt Walsh walking down the streets of Chicago with a Subway sandwich get attacked by these two people.
And it's funny, but he's not adding anything really to the story.
No.
He's just doing what he said happened.
Jesse Smollett's interview on like ABC or something, and the interviewer's like, what happened? And so he narrates it. And then Matt Walsh essentially just acts it out.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But the real news of the day, the really impactful news of the day, is Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his name from consideration to be the Attorney General. If you've been listening to the show, I've been saying that that's what I expected to happen, that I didn't think he would ever make it to a hearing. There wouldn't be a hearing. It would be wild to cover that hearing. And I thought if he got to a hearing, he'd get confirmed, because there's no way he gets to the hearing If he doesn't think he can get confirmed. Nobody would put themselves through that. So if he couldn't get confirmed, I assumed he would take his name out. I thought that would happen in like 4 weeks.
That's what I was getting ready to
like
say.
During Christmas time when nobody's paying attention anymore.
Yeah, that he would soak up all this attention, become kind of the folk hero, and say, well, I tried, but the establishment brought me down. And then he'd have this career after politics, which I'm sure he still hopes to.
Well, we're going to talk to Hans von Spakovsky about that in about 15 minutes. Like, what are Matt Gaetz's options on Outnumbered earlier? Kayleigh McEnany was suggesting that he was reelected to that seat in Florida in Congress. Can he come back? Can he just unresign? Maybe. I don't know. Hans is going to talk to us. But I will also remind you that Marco Rubio is still under consideration for Secretary of State. He is from the state of Florida. He is vacating a Senate seat. And this might be a masterful play to just jump from the House to the Senate. Matt Gaetz, Senator Matt Gaetz from Florida. I don't know.
I don't think so, Annie.
I don't know. But crazier things have happened. Let's listen to Chad Pergram give the report here from the top of the hour on this matter.
Let me start with the immediate reaction here. A lot of the senators here on Capitol Hill did not even know. I'm just going to read you some of the initial response. Eric Schmidt, the Republican senator from Missouri, he indicated that he thought that this was a personal decision. Joe Manchin, the retiring independent senator from West Virginia, said, smart man, smart move. Roger Wicker, the Republican senator from Mississippi, he said that this was a positive development. And Ron Wyden, the Democrat from Oregon, he said that this was not surprising, considering his manifest unsuitability for the position. Now, again, the question is whether or not Matt Gaetz can serve in the new Congress. Now, I want to direct you to what was said on the House floor just a couple of days ago. So he resigned from the House. He said, I intend to be the Attorney General. I'm going to go through that confirmation process. And in his resignation letter, he indicated that he would not be in the new Congress. Well, here's the rub. He's not currently a member of this Congress, which ends on January 3rd, but he was duly elected just a couple of weeks ago to the new Congress. Now, I spoke to a source who understands the process here and said he would have to write to the clerk of the House of Representatives and indicate that he now does intend to serve in the new Congress. We don't know if that is, in fact, the case. But Matt Gaetz was up here yesterday with J.D. Vance, the vice president-elect. They met in a room on the Senate side of the Capitol with multiple Republican senators who had questions about the suitability of Matt Gaetz, members of the Judiciary Committee. And Matt Gaetz, when he left the Capitol last night, he seemed pretty positive about his chances to become Attorney General. Listen to this.
They've been going great. Senator's been giving me a lot of good advice. I'm looking forward to a hearing. Folks have been very supportive. They've been saying we're going to get a fair process. So it's a great day of momentum for the Trump-Vance administration.
Any reaction to the Ethics Committee? They said they're not going to release the report after their meeting today, at least at this point. Any response?
I'll be honest with you. I've been focused on what we got to do to reform the Department of Justice. I've been meeting with senators. I haven't been paying much attention to that.
And Sandra, obviously, that was the interesting thing there yesterday because the Ethics Committee met and they did not release that report. Guys?
All right. That's a Chad Pergram report. Gosh, are your buttons not working the way they used to? Anybody? No? Just me?
Just you.
Is it just me that's not working the way I used to?
Yeah, I don't think it's the buttons.
I didn't think of that he could be resigning from this Congress, but he is elected to the next one. But it sounds like maybe he has to petition to be able to still come back. Hans von Spakovsky will have those answers.
I'm just going to say right now, I don't think he's going to try to come back in the next Congress because I think it's this threat of the House investigation coming out that is keeping him from going forward at all. And if he goes back into Congress, that thing would continue. So I just don't see that happening.
God dang it. You know how I said I wasn't going to talk about Jussie Smollett anymore? We're going to talk about Jussie Smollett a little bit here. Because the reason, do you know much about this story? Did you hear about this story today? The Illinois Supreme Court overturned his conviction.
Yeah.
Gosh, if I never have to see his face again. today we resolve a question about the state's responsibility to honor the agreements it makes with its defendants. This is the key to the Jussie Smollett case. This was written in the court documents obtained by Fox News Digital. Quote, specifically, we address whether a dismissal of a case by null prosecution allows the state to bring a second prosecution when the dismissal was entered as part of an agreement with the defendant and the defendant has performed his part of the bargain. We hold that a second prosecution under these circumstances is a due process violation and we therefore reverse defendant's conviction. So, in summary, Kim Fox made a sweet, sweet deal with Jussie Smollett and to drop the conviction or the charges, I think in return for like $10,000 in community service, dropped the charges. And so they shook hands on it. They made a deal. And then people, I think it continued to spiral. And they're like, holy crap, this guy's a liar. And he did all of this. It's like a hate crime. What he did, in my opinion, I mean, in the world where we throw around hate crimes, allegations all the time, he put half of the country on the hook for a hate crime when he said that he was jumped in Chicago by people who said this is MAGA country. He made it a cultural thing to associate the red hats and the word MAGA with a racist attack that involved attacking somebody with a noose that you just like casually leave around your neck for hours. Which reminds me at the end of that Matt Walsh thing where he reenacts the Jussie Smollett thing. At the end, he's like, On second thought, I don't think I want Subway.
Yeah, that was the conclusion of the segment.
Yeah, he goes through the entire thought process of Jussie Smollett, and then he's like, nah, no Subway. But when you, what happened in the state of Illinois is Kim Fox, a corrupt circuit attorney or district attorney, whatever her title is in Chicago, she made a deal with Jussie Smollett that was a really, really crappy deal, and they shook hands on it, and in that deal, they weren't going to prosecute him, and then they turned around and prosecuted him. They didn't say that he's innocent. He hasn't been exonerated from anything. He got a sweet deal out of a corrupt DA, and then the Illinois fumbled the bag and were like, no, we need to do this again, and that's just not the way the court process works. So in this instance, they went back and corrected a wrong of the court system, but boy, Illinois really, really sucks again. We suck again.
It's incredible. It's
doesn't that make
just,
you mad?
Yes. If you were going to do this kind of hoax, Illinois is like, hey, you know what? Why don't you do these in the future? Because this is a place to do it. You'll get off scot-free. No consequences. Maybe to your career. I don't know how his career is doing these days. But that's not legal. That's all public perception. He ruined that. Legally, he's off scot-free.
I'm looking for the specific numbers here. And I'm on WTTW, which is a news outlet in Chicago. But it does seem since this all happened, what was that, 2019?
Yeah.
You had a microphone.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a secret.
Yes. Buttons.
It happened in 2019, pretty charged time in our country. Going into an election, going into a pandemic, we didn't know that, going into a summer of love. People were supercharged about their Donald Trump hatred. And in Chicago, this is the stupidest thing ever. Like, he makes up this story and he's like, I know, I'll have two random white dudes walking around at 2 a.m. in sub-zero temperatures just telling black dudes that it's MAGA country.
Mm-hmm.
And people
will
be like, but yeah, people will be like, gosh, this is just out of control. It's taken over Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, the state of Illinois has been waiting for Chicago to come to their political senses. And what Jussie Smollett tried to do is associate political sense of voting for Donald Trump with racism, which is a hate crime. And I'm just here to report that at least in this last election, Chicago became MAGA country a little bit more.
Yeah.
I credit him.
You know, the only believable part of his story is that crime exists in Chicago because the rest of it is ridiculous. The nation was not surprised to hear that a crime would be committed in downtown Chicago at night.
You had to put red hats on them.
They're wearing MAGA hats.
You're like, no, that doesn't happen in Chicago.
Wait
crime,
a minute.
You had us until you said red MAGA hats. It's just absurd.
Well, like even the story, he didn't drop his sandwich, so he still had a sandwich when the police arrived, and he still had the quote-unquote noose around his neck.
It's unbelievable. Like, you are in entertainment. Do you not get that people are going to see through this stuff?
He is in entertainment.
That's the worst part. His interview sucked.
Yeah, it was.
He was making up the whole thing, and his interview with this person, I'm like, I don't believe you at all. And neither, like, nobody did. I remember being in the studio. I did not know. I'm not saying this to, like, degrade him or anything. I did not know who Jussie Smollett was. But it was clear that he was a big enough deal that people knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then all this stuff going on in Chicago, and I'm like, God dang it.
Really, what this highlights is the difference between an actor and a writer. Jussie Smollett is an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He did not
didn't have good
send
writers.
This through the writing team. If he did, they would have said, you know what?
We need some edits.
Some of this doesn't quite add up. I don't think people are going to believe it.
Are you going for believable here? Because this script is not believable.
I think it's a testament to how stupid as a country we were at that time to just take anything spoon-fed that was Trump hate. People were just so accepting of it. That's where we were at that point in time. If it was Donald Trump, it was detestable. It was racist. It was awful. And people were like, oh, okay, that tracks.
What's amazing is you put this in the deck of cards, because like you said, we went into COVID right after this. There were so many things that had come along, and this one's just one of the cards in the deck, that made people go, maybe I shouldn't just believe everything that's reported. And that's not a bad thing. You know, I really think that this was accelerated through COVID when people really started asking questions, because all of that stuff wasn't just some random news story about some celebrity that made this up. That was when it really started to affect everything you were doing. And then everybody's going, I don't know if I'm buying everything they're selling here. Maybe I'm buying some of it and not all of it. But it made people scrutinize. And Jussie Smollett was one of the things that led to us being where we are now, where nobody, you look at polls, nobody trusts what's being reported by the mainstream media anyway. And that is a more healthy place to be now than we were then.
Well, we're going to talk to Hans von Spakovsky when we come back. And he is, of course, a legal expert. We're going to ask him about Matt Gaetz' options going forward. Of course, he might just be done with D.C. for a little bit. He could find himself being appointed back to that Senate seat in Florida that Marco Rubio intends to vacate when he becomes the Secretary of State. Maybe he resigned from the current Congress, and since he was elected to the new Congress that will be installed in the beginning of January, maybe he's just...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Resigned for the holidays. And I'm just
brilliant,
like,
move.
In awe of this man at this point in time.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Exactly. Hans von Spakovsky will tell us when we come back what we got here in the future with Matt Gaetz. In the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to try to connect with Tyrus and also our dear friend Tammy Bruce at 125. Can't wait to hear. Have we talked to her post-election? I don't think we have.
Mike, no.
If only we could get somebody who could push that button to turn on your mic, Brad. That's you.
Leave me alone.
You're doing fine. Let's take a quick break. Hans von Spakovsky on the Annie Fry Show next.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Sunshine. Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
Train whistles blow and guitars play. Preachers preach. Farmers plow. Wishes go up and the world goes round. And I...
We have breaking news this hour. Matt Gaetz is stepping down from his nomination to Attorney General of the United States. Many said this was the most contentious of the nominations made by former President Trump. And he has announced categorically that he will not be seeking confirmation to the post of Attorney General. Here are his words. I had an excellent meeting with senators yesterday. I appreciate their thoughtful feedback and the incredible support of so many. While the momentum was strong, it is clear that my confirmation was unfairly becoming a distraction to the critical work of the Trump-Vance transition. There's no time to waste on a needlessly protracted Washington scuffle. Thus, I'll be withdrawing my name from consideration to serve as Attorney General. Trump's DOJ must be in place and ready on day one. I remain fully committed to seeing that Donald J. Trump is the most successful president in history.
We, the people of the United States,
more perfect,
in our form of our perfect union,
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Hans, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's good to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm going to say I was skeptical that Matt Gaetz was ever going to make it to the confirmation hearing. I didn't think it would happen this fast, but Matt Gaetz withdraws his name from consideration for the attorney general position. And the big question that I have right now, he resigned from Congress the day he was nominated. But there's some question over, did he resign from the current Congress? He got elected to the next Congress. What are Matt Gaetz's options going forward?
Well, my understanding is that he resigned from his position in the current Congress, which would not affect his reelection. And if he wants to, he can obviously take his seat on January 3rd when the new Congress starts its new session. So, and unless I'm wrong about that, and I don't think I am, that's it. He only resigned his current position in Congress.
Yeah. I feel like whatever is going on here surrounding this appointment is some level of chess that I am not equipped to understand. But the attorney general position, it's a very big one. You know a lot about this from having worked in the Department of Justice. Let's set aside the Matt Gaetz component of this, because in his withdrawing of his name, he essentially said, I'm becoming too much of a distraction for this transition team, so I'm taking my name out. When you see the attorney general, whomever it might be that's appointed here next, what is it that you're quickly hoping that they are going to do once they are confirmed into that position?
Well, I would look for two things in whoever Trump is picking. One, you want somebody hardcore and tough. And second, you want someone who has hopefully previous experience inside DOJ, who knows how the place is organized, where all the bones are buried, and understands the kind of changes that need to be made, and needs to be very tough, because no matter what they do, even though it'll be best for the department, best for Americans, they are going to get relentlessly attacked by the left, by the their friends in the media. In fact, I'd be willing to bet you that of all the cabinet picks that the president has made, the person who will get the most criticism after he or she gets in and starts operating will be the new attorney general.
There's a lot of responsibility that you have as the attorney general of the United States. And so I think that the vetting and the confirmation process is an important one, that you want to make sure that the person who goes in there is the appropriate man or woman for the job. I don't know if there's like a rubric for how senators choose to vote to support or not to support. I listed off, it was like 20 senators that were Republicans who voted to approve Merrick Garland. And I can imagine that they have those Republican senators. Some of them are not in the Senate any longer, but I'd imagine that some of those senators haven't approved of what Merrick Garland has done over time. What should a senator consider when they're voting to confirm or not confirm?
They need to understand, and this was until recent decades, this was the attitude generally of the Senate, was that as long as the person had the professional qualifications needed to do the job, they would bow to the president's prerogative of choosing the person that he wanted in that position. As you know, that basically has gone out the window, particularly with Democrats who have put in obstructionist tactics, so that even if somebody is qualified, they'll vote against them if they believe they don't have the right ideological view on different matters. And that's what the Republican senators need to do. The president should be able to pick who he wants to be the head of a department. And really, the only thing they should look at is, well, does the person have the professional qualifications to be the attorney general? And look, the easiest way to look at that is you obviously would not want to pick, for example, an actor who's not a lawyer with no legal experience. OK, that's a question of qualifications. But people who are lawyers, who have had good experience, and have the qualifications, they should get confirmed, even if a senator perhaps doesn't like the policy position that the nominee has taken on some particular issue.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I'd like to resurface it again because it's a topic of conversation that continues to come up regarding recess appointments. The way those recess appointments come into play, it seemed like I'll be curious to see how much the recess appointment conversation dies down now that Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his name, because that seemed to get elevated when Matt Gaetz when he was appointed to be the attorney general, or nominated, I should say. Are recess appointments usual in any presidency circumstantially, or is there a reason why it would be unconstitutional at all for President Trump to encourage and for the Senate to go through with agreeing to allow any of these people that have been nominated to be confirmed through recess appointment?
Look, the ability of a president to make recess appointments is outlined in the Constitution, and presidents put in recess appointments for more than 200 years of our history without anybody questioning their legitimacy, and that was both Republican and Democratic presidents. It wasn't until Harry Reid, you know, the former Democratic majority leader from Nevada, decided he was just going to stop that practice in his entirety and put in a procedure in the United States Senate that they would never go into recess, even though we both know they actually are in recess. And what he did was say every 3 days the Senate will reconvene, even if nobody's in town, and all they do is they have one senator come in, he gavels the Senate into session, they do no business, he then gavels them out. It is a fake session. And by doing that, he prevents recess appointments, because the Supreme Court has said the Senate has to be out for at least 10 days before a president can make a recess appointment. This is going to be the real test of Senator Thune, right?
Yes.
The new majority leader of the Republicans. Is he going to end these fake sessions and go back to the normal practice that we had for over 200 years of the Senate actually going into a recess so that a president can make those kinds of appointments while the regular nominations are pending before the Senate?
It kind of leads me into a question I hadn't really prepared to ask you, but it seems like this entire Donald Trump second term, and I don't think there is any way that any of this would have been possible if he would have gotten a consecutive second term, because people appreciate Donald Trump now in a way that they wouldn't have in 2020 if he would have been reelected. But the amount of reform that looks like it could potentially take place, that's kind of the commitment that the Trump campaign made when they got reelected.
Right.
Specifically with the way Congress works or the judiciary, all of that, are there any particular reforms that you are looking to see happen the most?
Well, the president's got to make a lot of changes inside the executive branch. And the way to do that is to bring in rebels. And are the people he's been talking about. And what does that require? That requires the United States Senate to go back to its regular order of holding hearings and getting people confirmed really quickly, and not delaying confirmations for 6 months, a year and a half, and which is what has happened there. And that requires the cooperation of the Senate. It requires the Senate to, like I said, end the provisions they put in place to prevent recess appointments so that these people can get in immediately, start working, and have their regular nominations being processed by the Senate. Then those are very key changes that need to be made so that Trump can get to work.
We're speaking with senior legal fellow from the Heritage Foundation, Hans von Spakovsky. last thought kind of concept that we were talking a little bit about off the air. The three of us here on this show were all in our early 40s. We were born during the Reagan administration. I was born particularly in 1984. And, you know, I made the comment here in the studio off air that the next, maybe even the first six months of Donald Trump's presidency may be the most transformative version of government that we've ever lived through in our lifetime. If a lot of these commitments that the Trump campaign is making, you know, even day one type of stuff, the commitment to reopen the Keystone XL pipeline on day one, Donald Trump has made the commitment to do that as well. Can you compare what we might be about to see with the commitments that are being made to the electorate to get Donald Trump to be back in office? Is this going to be a pretty transformative time?
Yes. If he gets the people in he wants, and if they fulfill the promises they're making, I think you're absolutely right. This could be one of the most transformative times for the federal government, frankly, in my lifetime. Yeah, Ronald Reagan did a lot, but the federal government since then has gotten exponentially worse, and Trump really, really wants to change that, and he's setting out to do it.
Well, I always think of Barack Obama saying he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America, and this could be quite the reset, going back into the idea of smaller government in expenditure, in regulations, and all of it. It's going to be really quite something to take in. And Hans, we're appreciative of
it.
The Matt Gaetz stuff today was wild, and I was so happy that we were going to have you on to walk us down that road. So thanks for being with us again today.
Sure thing. Always happy to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former FEC Commissioner and DOJ lawyer. I love talking to Hans. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Weekends America. I don't know if you were listening to the show yesterday at the end of the show. Unfortunately, I was listening to the show yesterday at the end of the show. And I asked Ryan a very simple question. And I have admitted to my superiors here as well that it was about 2:48 and I'd run out of things to talk about. So I just looked at Ryan in the moment and said, hey, anything big on your Christmas list? And that dude says a bidet. That's what he came up with yesterday. He said he wants a bidet. So Wiggins America today, he's taking this one all the way home. Six reasons that you need a bidet. Next. Please don't change the channel. We'll be right back.
Tumbleweeds roll and the stars shine. Woke up this morning feeling fine. There's something special on my mind. Last night I met a new girl in the neighborhood.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show. Something good.
So yesterday at about 2:48, we had a conversation that involved bidets.
You make it sound like it was an agreed upon experience.
This is just something that we organically decided to discuss as a show.
You organically decided to discuss.
It came up because it's something that I would not mind having for Christmas. I think my wife is in support of that.
I asked you, what was at the top of your Christmas list?
And then you suggested puppy, and I said, no, it's a bidet.
That's actually what happened.
I do want to let you know, yesterday was my mom's birthday. I should have wished her birthday on the air.
Oh, you're in
but
trouble.
But when I called her to wish her happy birthday, mm-hmm. she said, I heard your conversation about the bidets. Oh. And the first thing she asked me was, does Katie know? And I assumed she was saying, does Katie know that you had this discussion? And
yeah.
I said, no. And she said, well, I'm actually asking, does she know about the Christmas idea?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is also no. So if you're listening and you know my wife, don't tell her.
Did your mom say anything about how you use the bidet?
No. And I was going to, here's the deal. I was going to wait until the end of this segment to drop this bomb. But now that you've brought it up, I looked back at my pictures from Japan. Bidets not only spray you right in the chimney sweep, but they do spray your upfronts as well. So I just want to point that out. I want to point out that I was right. That whole time, everybody was making fun of me for talking about water spraying your genitals.
Well, you said that you wanted one because you wanted to do that.
And it does that.
Don't say that word again.
What? Chimney?
Yep. I mean, I hate the word chimney.
Okay. All right. Well,
we worked that out.
But you're right. Most bidets are meant to clean out your smokestack. These, though, they do both.
Smokestack.
So
how you've got 10 minutes. Can you do this for 10 minutes?
No. No.
All right. Well, stay tuned for at least 8 minutes.
Let's pace us out here because I've got 6 reasons that you should want and use a bidet. A debay. Number one.
Maybe that's the one that squirts you in the front.
Debay. It's a duvet. Number one is bidets support good health. Annie.
Don't talk to me. Excuse me. I'm good. I'm not a... This isn't about me.
Brad.
Yeah.
Bidets are less irritating than toilet paper and more sanitary. But there are further benefits for specific medical needs. For chronic health conditions like constipation or hemorrhoids, a bidet offers notable degrees of relief.
I can't believe this is happening.
I'm not making eye contact with him the whole time.
Don't look at me. I don't like that.
I'm looking at the camera.
Well, that's too close to looking at me. I'm gonna hide.
For certain medical conditions, the soft touch of water is far preferable to the
abrasion.
Stop
doing that with your hands.
It's what Trump does.
No, he's never done this.
Yes, he
Donald
does.
Trump would not be the next president if he did what you're doing right now.
He does.
That is not
exactly that.
No, what you're doing is what Tim Walz does, and it's different.
You picture Trump saying this, and you could see exactly the way I'm holding my hands.
I'm actually trying to black out everything that's happening right now.
The soft touch of water is far preferable to the abrasion of toilet paper. I'm doing the accordion hands, too. You should tune into the live stream.
No.
Number two. Get it? Bidets add daily luxury. So this isn't even about your health. This is just about living the good life. Taking a trip to the bidet-equipped bathroom is like a short visit to the spa. Brad, it's pleasant and enjoyable and makes for the ultimate bathroom upgrade. What are you doing?
Something else.
You're just doing something else. This is a live radio segment.
What do you want me to say to you?
I want you to tell me your experience using a bidet. Have you ever used one before?
I said yesterday I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
Brad?
No.
Then this segment's for you.
Well, that's why I'm listening.
You're doing other things actively. Number three, tune into the live stream because you're missing half of this if you're just listening. Number three, using a bidet.
Great radio.
Means, and we still have like 6 minutes.
I know.
How are we going to get there? Using a bidet means fewer clogged toilets. I can't even take myself seriously. Bidet owners use 75% less toilet paper. You're saving money.
The environment. That's what we have always talked about here.
Which means they reduce the chances of the dreaded clogged toilet.
Do you have that problem a lot?
I personally
don't answer
do not,
it. I don't want to know.
What? But my kids,
don't you dare.
Maybe run into this. My kids use a lot of toilet paper because they're little and they don't really know how to manage their toilet paper usage.
That's not something they're going to like to hear that you talked about.
You know what else they're going to love is just hitting the spray button on that thing.
Yeah, they are. Just wait until they find out what they can all spray. The whole bathroom.
I don't think it works that way. I think there's a sensor. But I don't really know. Number four.
Smoke that.
Paul
smoke
says, I think Wiggins has hit bottom, and I'm unsure if that's a euphemism.
Wait, did he say he's unsure, or did you say that?
No, I said it.
Okay, that's true. Number four. Biden. It's like one letter off.
Yeah.
Bidets.
Oh, the irony.
Bidets are affordable. Bidet attachments. This is real. Bidet attachments.
This is real. What about the rest of it?
And bidet seats are easy to install. Don't take up more space than a traditional toilet and are available starting at just $59. Although, I have to say,
that's not the one you want, though.
We looked into the $59 versions. They're not that great. So you want to get a better one.
Why not? What's the difference?
They're just basically a toilet seat that you're putting on, and it's a luxury toilet seat.
So that seems, I guess, in
it
your
works.
World, nicer than the
it
alternative
works.
To not having one.
But getting, like, the full toilet, I think that's where the sensors come in. That's where the front spray comes in.
Cool lights.
The little, yeah, right. It's like you're tricking out your car.
I spend a lot more time in my car. I'd invest my money there.
Mm-hmm.
Get some sweet rims on that toilet. This is real life. This is my job.
Yeah.
I was getting paid to do this.
Okay. I'm just looking at the clock going, oh, dear Lord. Number five, enjoy a comfortable warm seat. That's right. Modern bidets offer several features to suit your unique needs. Stay comfortable all winter long. We're going into winter, guys. It's going to get cold. How are you going to feel sitting down on that toilet seat when it's not heated like mine?
I've been spending my whole life sitting on cold toilet seats, and it's never occurred to me that I need to not.
It wasn't until I sat down on a heated seat that I went, oh. And you know what is terrible is that whenever I sit down on a heated seat, like after somebody's been on it at work, that is not pleasurable. But if you sit down on a seat that's not been used recently and it's warm, you realize what you've been missing. Keep your bathroom visits quiet with automatically rising and lowering lids. Several features take off those nagging little things that drive us all crazy. I'll add this one as an addendum.
Does it rise and lower like super slow? So you just got to stand there and wait?
I don't know. I haven't really seen it do this automatically.
Or really fast.
Yeah, like whack! Ah!
Getting ready to spray your... Never mind.
All right, ready for my...
It's like a booby trap, but
ah,
not.
That thing moves. The one thing I did notice that Japan has that we would not with a bidet, and they should add this to every American bathroom, because going to the bathroom is an unpleasant experience for most people in America, because our... Number one, our stalls... The gap between the bottom of the door and the floor is way too tall. Agreed? Like, they could make that lower.
No, I'm not concerned about that gap. I'm concerned about the one where the hinges are, where you can just see in.
That one, too. It's too wide. In Japan, not only do they make them almost to the floor and to the top, and you can't see in at all, but they also have little music, and they have birds chirping that you can turn on while you're going to the bathroom, so that nobody can hear anything you're doing in there. It's just like, tweet, 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 tweet. Oh, that person must be taking a giant dump.
3 minutes.
And unfortunately, I'm on the last one. Bidets are cool. Number
six. You show them off to your guests?
Heck yes. That's a reason to have people over.
I come over to your house and you're like, come here, I got to show you something.
Mm-hmm.
And you show me your bidet.
Uh-huh. I'd say I hope
what
you
ever
stored up
I wish what you would have imported from your trip to Japan was like a respect for one another that doesn't really exist in other places in the world like it does in Japan. Self-respect.
Mm-hmm. How to board trains.
Cultural understanding of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pokemon,
deference.
Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
I did.
Kit Kat.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did bring home Kit Kats.
Yeah, they were gross.
And you guys didn't care about them.
But in Japan, is it customary to have people over so you can show them your bidet?
That no, because
seems
everybody's
like the,
got one.
That seems like the American version of the bidet.
No.
Which I think you would call a bidet.
No, everybody's got a bidet there. So it's just like going to the toilet.
But what if yours is really nice?
Well, then you could probably show it off.
I don't think you do.
So I think you'd have to get to the level that the thing drove around and had rims to show it off in Japan. Because everybody's got a
bidet. Like, actually, it'd be a porta potty.
Yeah.
With a bidet.
Yes.
So you could drive. That is American.
Yeah.
That is something you could definitely see in a red state.
See, I'm glad that...
If you make it electric powered and not need gas, then it goes into the blue state.
Right. They used to say everything happens in America first in California. But now I think it's really moved away from California.
Yeah, because California is America last.
Because California is America last.
Yeah.
Bidets are cool. It's fascinating to bring this type of technology into a room. Look, you went short with Hans. This is your fault. Into a room where we all spend plenty of time each day. For many bidet owners, their initial purchase may have been driven by a single need, but it's numerous benefits
You're
that they enjoy.
Now.
this is actually from a bidet company, too.
Oh, so it's an ad.
This isn't an impartial
article. Are you being compensated by this right now?
That's my hope.
You're saying Bidet Inc., big bidet, yeah. wants other people to buy bidets.
My hope big was bidet. That I would get my bidet comped by doing this, but then I called it a Biden. And I think they're going to look at me and go, you're not really the guy we're looking for to sell our bidets.
I got a text from an acquaintance. No, not that one yet. He wants to know if you can get a bidet in your car. Ooh. Is that something you'd be interested in? Like a bidet on the go?
Yeah, yeah. But you start by drilling a hole in the floor. And then we work up. But you do have to start there, friend.
Man, what a crappy segment.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Hey, we made it.
I don't know. I don't know. Tyrus is going to be on here next, unless he was listening, then maybe not. And Tammy Bruce in the 1 o'clock hour, plus Guns N' Roses tickets giveaway. Don't go away.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.